Lord, help us to commence this morning with hymn 173. Jesus, before thy face I fall, my Lord, my life, my hope, my all, for I have nowhere else to flee, no sanctuary, Lord, but thee. 173.
Thank you. We'll read from the Holy Word of God, from the book of Exodus. We'll commence at Exodus chapter 13 and verse 17 and read through to the end of chapter 14. Exodus chapter 13, commencing at verse 17. And it came to pass, when Pharaoh had let the people go, that God led them not through the way of the land of the Philistines, although that was near. For God said, lest peradventure the people repent when they see war, and they return to Egypt. But God led the people about through the way of the wilderness of the Red Sea. And the children of Israel went up harnessed out of the land of Egypt. And Moses took the bones of Joseph with him. For he had straitly sworn the children of Israel, saying, God will surely visit you, and you shall carry up my bones away hence with you. And they took their journey from Succoth, and encamped in Etham, in the edge of the wilderness. And the Lord went before them by day in a pillar of a cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. He took not away the pillar of the cloud by day nor the pillar of fire by night from before the people. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before Pihahiroth, between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, and the wilderness hath shut them in. And I will harden Pharaoh's heart, that he shall follow after them. And I will be honoured upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled. And the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people. And they said, why have we done this, that we have let Israel go from serving us? And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with an high hand, but the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh, and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them, encamping by the sea, beside Pihahiroth, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us, to carry us up, carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness. And Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show you to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. And the Lord said unto Moses, Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians, and they shall follow them. And I will get me honour upon Pharaoh, and upon all his host, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord, when I have gotten me honour upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen. And the angel of God, which went before the camp of Israel, removed and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that the one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all Pharaoh's horses, his chariots and his horsemen. It came to pass that in the morning watch the Lord looked unto the host of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, that they drave them heavily, so that the Egyptians said, Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians. And the Lord said unto Moses, Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen. And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it, and the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned, and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. For the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and his servant Moses. May the Lord now help us in prayer. O Lord Almighty and most gracious God, we do pray for thy help now in coming before thee. We are weak, but thou art mighty. O Lord, do help us, do save us by thy mighty hand. O Lord, do save us from ourselves, from our own spirit, from our sins, from the devil. And O Lord, we do look unto thee, O Lord Jesus, the Saviour, to help us, to strengthen us, to guide us, to comfort us. O Lord, how we have so many blessings set forth by thy precious word in Christ Jesus, more than we are able to number. They're countless as the sand O Lord, we do thank thee for thy great grace and mercy unto us. Have mercy upon us, for so often we are unbelieving. We forget. Like one that said, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. O Lord, we do believe that thou art gracious, thou art merciful, thou art almighty, but so often when in the midst of trouble we are overtaken with the temptation of unbelief. O Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. O Lord, do we pray, help us. And O Lord, as thou art here with us by the Spirit, as thou hast said, where two or three are gathered together in my name, there am I in the midst. O Lord, what a privilege it is, and how searching it is that we are in the presence of thou, O Lord Jesus Christ, as we worship here together on thy day. O Lord, do give us ears to hear, eyes to see, understanding hearts. Do, O Lord, strengthen us that we may walk in thy ways, in love, to thine honour and glory. But, O Lord, do grant us that true sense of thy presence. We have read from thy holy word, thy word is before us, and thou art here, O Lord Jesus, by the Spirit. Grant us that true sense of thy presence. We may have that true and godly fear and reverence. Not that we should flee, but that we should come. But to come in humility and repentance and in faith, looking unto Jesus. O Lord, we do pray for thy help. Do strengthen me in preaching, to keep me faithful in that which is said, that there may be that which is profitable. Indeed, it can only be profitable as it is wrought by thee, O Lord, by the Spirit. O Lord, do apply the word indeed. O Lord, how we do need thy work to appear. O Lord, thy word is as pure, holy. How beautiful, how solemn, how blessed. So, Lord, how we do need thee to open our ears, to open our hearts to receive. And, O Lord, that there may be those changes for the better in our lives, in our hearts, churches, by thine almighty power. Do look in mercy upon us. Do help us here. Do help our friends, the deacons, and the church and congregation here, that thou hast be pleased to bless them. Bless them with that godly increase, that growth in grace and the knowledge of thee, O Lord Jesus Christ. There may be those brought into the church, those brought into the congregation, truly hungering and thirsting after thee. In those in this village and neighbourhood, there may be those who would come, truly seeking thee, to hear thy word, and they may be blessed. O Lord, do grant thy help to the children and the young people. O Lord, we do thank thee that there are many children and young people here. O Lord, we do pray that they may be blessed, favoured, guided, strengthened in this present evil world. O Lord, we are parents, to be given that wisdom, that patience and that strength to bring up our children rightly in thy sight, to the honour and glory of thy holy name. O Lord, we do pray in the nation that thou hast be pleased to look in mercy. O Lord, what abominations there are done in the land, what awful things through our government. And O Lord, as we see that increasing desire and indeed the fulfilling of their desires in the persecution of thy church and thy one true church, even in this land. The attacks upon the children, attacks upon the teaching of the children, thy holy word. our desire to silence the preaching of the word, the distribution of thy word. O Lord, do preserve us, do help us. O Lord, what a solemn judgment it is upon us in the nation that once we had those rulers who desired that these things should go forth amongst the young and amongst the people, but now we have those in government who desire that which is abominable to go forth, to be taught, and that which is truth from thy word to be suppressed, and to persecute thy true church. O Lord, we do pray for thy deliverance. O Lord, the hearts of all men are in thy hand, especially this time as the election approaches, if we be spared. We do pray there may be those raised up who would truly fear thy name, those of honesty and integrity, rather than of hatred and malice against thy one true church and thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, as thou art truly revealed in the Scriptures. Though they may profess a Christ, it is a false Christ. O Lord, do deliver us, we pray. And may there be those raised up in Parliament and in government who may do that which is right in thy sight. Those of honesty and integrity. Yea, more, those who fear thy name. Do, O Lord, come for our help, we pray. Look in mercy upon us. Our sins are so many ways in the professing churches. We've grown cold, lifeless. So many have turned away from the word, turned away from thee, turned under vanities and the affluence and all the delights and vanities of this world, the pleasures of sin for a season. O Lord, we do pray, have mercy. We can only trust in thee, O Lord Jesus Christ, to have mercy upon us, both individually and collectively. O Lord, do appear for us to help, especially at this time, that our liberty of worship and of teaching our children thy ways and of sending forth thy word may yet be preserved in this nation. O Lord, we do pray for thy help. Do bless the church as we pray. Although we be but few, do grant that there may be a godly increase, a help for thy servants to do preach, a raising up of more ministers to preach the everlasting gospel, a strengthen those of thy servants in weakness or in discouragement or in difficulty. Do help them this day. And, O Lord, do be with any that are unable to be here this day with us, that, O Lord, they may be helped, whether they be unwell or caring for others. Do, O Lord, we do pray that thou wouldst be with them, to bless them in their homes or wherever they may be. And, O Lord, that any that could be here, but the heart is not to assemble on thy day, O Lord, do have mercy upon them to deliver them from that snare. And, O Lord, grant them a desire that they must come to worship thee according to thy holy commandment. Do then help us, we beg, and we thank thee for thy goodness and thy mercy. And may the Son of Righteousness come with healing his wings. O Lord, do grant that healing. Heal us, Emmanuel, here we are. O Lord, we do beg in Jesus' name. Amen.
Hymn number 1080. To Jesus, our victorious Lord, the praises of our lives belong. Forever be his name adored, sweet theme of every thankful song. 1080.
May the Lord help us in turning to his holy word. And I direct you to the chapter that we read, Exodus chapter 14, and especially verse 14. Exodus chapter 14 and verse 14. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Remarkable, the hymn that we've just sung, that our friend chose, just by guidance of the Holy Spirit. Still may we fight and still prevail in our almighty leader's name, his strength. Whene'er our spirits fail, can all our active powers inflame. There is the great secret that is revealed unto to every true believer, that our strength is in the Lord. That whenever we are in great trouble, and indeed we are, man is born unto trouble, as the sparks fly upward, as we read in Job. 'Tis through much tribulation we must enter into the kingdom. It's not a pathway of ease. The Lord has revealed it unto us, like the Lord revealed unto the Israelites. As we read in the beginning of Exodus 14, the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. The Pharaoh's heart will be hardened. The Pharaoh will pursue after. We are called to fight in that spiritual sense. That is why the church here below is sometimes referred to as a church militant. Here, fighting here below. We wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with principalities and powers. Spiritual wickedness in high places. Therefore, we have need of the whole armour of God. We have need here of such a word as this, such a glorious truth. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. That as we are here below, in varying ways, degrees, manners, in a warfare. Fighting against sin, against Satan, against very great difficulties, troubles, distress, disappointments, bereavements, perplexities of mind, or weakness or pain of body, things that we cannot straighten out, and the more we try and straighten them, the more crooked they become. We clearly see in the word of God that the Lord, it is the Lord's sovereign will and purposes that it is through much tribulation we enter into the kingdom. That it is a place here below where we have need of the whole armour of God. We have need of the Lord to help, the Lord to fight. For us, the Lord shall fight for you. What a promise that we have. What an encouragement we have. We consider the almighty power of God. If we think that word, if God be for us, who can be against us? Read this morning after breakfast, Job 38, where the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. And said, who is this that darkeneth counsel by words without knowledge? Gird up now thy loins like a man, and I will demand of thee, and answer thou me. Where wast thou when I laid the foundations of the earth? Declare if thou hast understanding. Who had laid the measures thereof, if thou knowest? Or who hath stretched the line upon it? point is here, that the Lord spake out of the whirlwind with that demonstration of his almighty power and majesty. Power over things terrestrial, over things celestial, over the things heavenly. If God be for us, who can be against us? In the context of Job there, now, the Lord was answering Job, as Job had in that great distress and trial had justified himself rather than God. As we read in Job chapter 31, no, sorry, chapter 32, Job justified himself rather than God. As regards Job's three friends, they had found no answer to Job, but had still condemned him. And after Elihu had spoken the word of the Lord unto Job, then the Lord appeared and spoke directly out of the whirlwind, speaking of his almighty power and majesty, infinitely higher than anything that could ever be possessed by a mere sinful man. Power, well, I never fail to be struck by this chapters like this in Job 38, 39, those matters that the Lord brings forth, he has that almighty power and majesty over. So often we are only taken up with our own trifling cares. Indeed, they are trifling. Well, they might not feel to be trifling, but when we see the power, the majesty, the awesome glory of God, in eternity, from eternity to eternity, how trifling they are in comparison. And how we are caught up with these things, how we times sink under them, forgetting our Lord. Well, the Egyptians here, there they were, marching after the Israelites. The Lord had foretold that it should be so. Has not the Lord foretold us in the word that we should not expect life of ease? There are those who are greatly offended when they find that the pathway of a Christian leads them into difficulty, trouble or distress or persecution. Thinking that if they were following God, surely it should be a time of ease, a time of deliverance. Indeed, there is a deliverance, but not a deliverance just to enjoy the vanities of this world. Now, they are offended, like the seed that was sown onto stony ground, quickly sprung up, but quickly they're offended when trouble, tribulation or persecution cometh on account of the word of God, the name of Christ. The Lord has foretold us that we shall suffer persecution. Yet how often we say it to myself, seem surprised when it happens. But before the Lord spake unto the children of Israel of the Pharaoh and the Egyptians who should come after them. The reason why I read the latter part of Exodus 13. We have the cloudy, fiery pillar is already there. The cloudy, fiery pillar was already leading the children of Israel. The Lord went before them by day in a pillar of cloud to lead them the way, and by night in a pillar of fire to give them light to go by day and night. It struck me here, just in reading, in the public reading, how the Lord is always with his people. Whether it's day or whether it's night. Whether it's a time when we feel to have much light upon the way, and particularly feel the comforts or encouragements. But just as much the Lord is with Israel when it's night, when it's dark, when we cannot see, when we are in distress, that our Lord Jesus Christ is Emmanuel, God with us. The Lord is with us. The unspeakable privilege of a true believer, the Lord is with us whether we feel it or not. He is, not sometimes, he is Emmanuel, God with us. So why we have in that psalm, it's a short psalm, Psalm 134, an exhortation there. Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord. Lift up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord that made heaven and earth, bless thee out of Zion. This cloudy, fiery pillar, that appearance of the presence of God, so particularly speaks of our Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, Emmanuel, God with us, there leading the children of Israel. There, whether it be day or whether it be night, and we also come now to the time that the Egyptians have pursued and have caught up with the Israelites. And we see here that the Egyptians were marching there in order, there like an army in discipline. Children of Israel rather seem to be in disarray when they see the Egyptians crying out unto Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Behold, the Egyptians marched after them, and they were sore afraid. But again, I hadn't noticed it until reading in public earlier in the service, the latter part of verse 11. Sorry, the latter part of verse 10. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. We read they cried unto the Lord, but they also cried unto Moses. There was faith mingled with unbelieving fears. Like that one that's cried out, Lord, I believe, help thou mine unbelief. Like the disciples on the boat in that storm in Galilee, on the Sea of Galilee, and Jesus and his sacred humanity slept in the hinder part of the ship, where we read that firstly they came to Jesus. That was faith, that they came to him. But then we see of those unbelieving fears, Master, away, carest thou not that we perish? As if the Lord didn't care for them. The word of the Lord, which is true and is eternal. The word of the Lord endureth forever. He careth for you. He careth for every one of his beloved people. Every one of the church. Every one of true believer. Part of his mystical body. He careth. And here we have that same in Exodus 14, the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord, Then we read, and they said unto Moses, and then there was this chiding with Moses, contending with Moses, ready to turn back. Well, do we not hear the words of our Lord unto the disciples on the Sea of Galilee after he had arisen and rebuked the wind and the waves? So we're here, the Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. There the Lord spake by his almighty word, and there was peace, a calm. You not say to the disciples, O ye of little faith, wherefore didst thou doubt? Do we not hear it spoken unto ourselves? In times of trouble we go unto the Lord, but yet we still are found there contending with Moses and Aaron and like the Israelites, trying to put our own hand to it, or blaming somebody else, or scarcely believing that the Lord should appear. Where we see the great compassion and mercy and grace of our Lord here. There in the presence of the cloudy, fiery pillar, which just speaks of Christ, that manifestation, glory of God. There, a shield. There, a light in darkness. There, despite the unbelieving fears, there was deliverance. The Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. Cannot some of us say that in the most straitest of positions, most almost impossible of positions, we have prayed, but perhaps even with only half a grain of faith, yet the Lord in his infinite mercy has granted us deliverance. And we hear that voice, wherefore didst thou doubt? What a merciful and gracious high priest we have in Jesus, one who has shed his precious blood, one who has, in that spiritual sense, fought for us, for his beloved church upon the cross, and gained the victory there. For we read concerning Christ, the resurrection, especially the seal of that victory. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The Israelites, they could see the grave gaining the victory. As the armies of Pharaoh came. But O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. There is the victory through Christ. As we fought upon the cross, so bearing the sins of the church, that is, every true believer, every one, the election of God, a number known unto, not to man, but to God, out of every kindred, tribe, tongue. There to bear their sins, there to bear that punishment, the wrath of God the Father, to bear it in his sacred humanity, body and soul. What agonies he went through. Well, starting in Gethsemane. My soul is exceeding sorrowful, even unto death. There being in an agony, he prayed the more earnestly. And those blows that he received, literally, by the servants of the high priest, smote him on the face, blindfolded him, smote him on the face, and called on him to prophesy as to who had smitten him, and to be scourged, and his whipped, and that whip to have barbs of metal in it that dug into the flesh to tear. To be smitten upon the head with that reed amongst the band of the Roman soldiers. To be nailed to the cross. To be in agony there. To be receive those verbal assaults and wounds. Mockery, the spitting, the ridicule, the cruelty. There, that ultimate fulfillment, the Lord shall fight for you. Indeed, as we look back in that New Testament day in which we're in, we can look back and see the Lord has fought for us at Calvary, and yet he still does fight. His intercession before the right hand of the Father. Indeed, he rose again. There are many who fought, and fought in that sense very valiantly, who have died. Saw recently of one given the highest military honours in Afghanistan. Remarkably, the man actually lived, but most who've received that honour received it posthumously. Died in battle, particularly trying to save the lives of their comrades, not regarding their own. Well, such are remembered rightly with honour. But how much more so the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. But how often do we forget? Immortal honours rest on Jesus' head. His name, how glorious it is that he fought, laid down his life. There to show love. Greater love hath no man than this, that man should lay down his life for his friends. The Lord Jesus Christ, he wrought the victory, although the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they would not see. But the Lord rose again and appeared unto his disciples to show that, behold, I'm alive. Keys of death and hell. Because I live, ye shall live also. I am the resurrection and the life. There declared to be the Son of God with power by the resurrection from the dead. There displaying himself victorious and ascending into heaven to intercede at the right hand of the Father for us. Whether we be in the dark or whether we be in the light, whether it be day or night, there he is interceding at the right hand of the Father for us. There our deliverance is sure. The Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. That great enemy, death, grave, sin, and allied in the great enemy, Satan. That word means in the Hebrew adversary, one who speaks against, one who is there for our downfall, one who comes with hatred, maybe open hatred, or it may be hatred wrapped up in a display of seeming affection and light, transforming himself into an angel of light even, whispering those sweet words, sweet allurements, trying to entice us with the delicacies of sin, the delicacies of the pleasures of sin for a season in this world, trying to entice us with the delicacies of pride, of self-righteousness. But we have one who has gained the victory. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ, in union with him, We have the victory. We are, as it were, share the spoils of war and of victory and of the peace. One there is above all others, well deserves the name of friend. One who has gloriously laid down his life and risen again, now at the right hand of the Father. Indeed, here, the Lord Jesus Christ is here by the Spirit. He's in the heart of every true believer by the Spirit. How compassionate and merciful and gracious and long-suffering the Lord is. For so often we're like these Israelites here. We have the very evidence of the Lord's presence. They had the cloudy, fiery pillar there. They had the testimony of those 10 plagues that had been brought upon the Egyptians, which didn't fall on them. They had the evidence of the almighty power of God for their defence. Have we not seen, trust many of us, answers to prayer? But yet we come into some fresh trouble or some surprising trouble and, as it were, we are, I want to say the expression, run ragged. Running hither and thither and blaming this person or that circumstance. Or has God forgotten to be gracious, we might say. Master, awake, we perish. Carest thou not that we perish? But yet there's still that evidence of faith. When the disciples went to Jesus in that boat, they went to Jesus. Although they also accused him of not caring, but there was that grain of faith, they went to Jesus. Although the Lord lovingly reproved them, yet he delivered them. And how gracious and merciful the Lord is, though our faith be but a grain of mustard seed. And so much of us is mingled in unbelief. Yet the Lord delivers for his name's sake. Delivers as he has paid, he has wrought the victory, as he has paid the price. Shed his precious blood. He's risen again. And his honour and name is at stake. His name is Jesus. Thou shalt call his name Jesus, Saviour, for he shall save his people from their sins. None shall be lost, save the son of perdition, Judas Iscariot, who was foretold. He was not truly one of his, but a devil. Although he had the outward office of one of the disciples, one of the 12, yet was a devil. The Lord knew. But none shall be lost. There's only one Judas Iscariot. Although the devil might tempt us that you're one as well. But the word of God is true, there is only one. And he's gone to perdition. But all the Lord, all who are truly the Lord's, are safe in him. And what strength we receive by the Spirit as we, by faith, lay hold upon this. Who is he that overcometh, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? And so as we contemplate, as we ought to more, the resurrection and the battle that has been won, the thanks be to God which giveth others victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. And the apostle concludes by that exhortation to be steadfast, unmovable. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as ye know that your labour is not in vain in the Lord. A word of encouragement. Though he should yet press on, trusting in Christ. Children of Israel here, they thought it was vain. They come out of Egypt only to be buried in the wilderness. slaughtered there by the Egyptians, or to die of thirst or hunger. But my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. But Moses said unto the people, fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord. That exhortation to look unto the Lord. Indeed, the Lord was there in the cloudy, fiery pillar. The Israelites, their eyes were more upon the Egyptians, more upon their enemy than upon the Lord. And so describes us when we fall prey to such temptations, in such distress, our eyes are scrutinizing minutely our trouble, or our enemies, or our difficulties, or our pains, or whatever they may be. Or perhaps it's somebody else who's offended, minutely scrutinizing them, rather than looking more unto the Lord. Yes, the Egyptians were there. But their eyes seemed to be more upon the Egyptians, and then they turned to Moses. But Moses, the servant of God, immediately exhorted them to turn their eyes once more to the Lord. Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more. Those things that seem to rise up as mountains, as difficulties, that seem to have gone on for some time. Suddenly, when the Lord comes, they're no more. But the Lord is eternal. And ultimately, when we are called to pass from this life to eternal life, those like eternal life in Christ Jesus, then, well, we won't see those Egyptians anymore. They'll be gone. It'll be Jesus only. Whether we grant that increase of faith and that mighty power of the Spirit upon us, that we should more look unto Jesus, Jesus only. See no man save Jesus only with ourselves. They saw no man save Jesus only with themselves on that Mount of Transfiguration. The Egyptians whom ye have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. We see in this passage here the work of a triune God. We have the purposes of God spoken forth. The Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel. Then speaks concerning Pharaoh and the Egyptians, how they shall come after them and how they shall be delivered. The eternal purposes of God the Father. We have the cloudy, fiery pillar. So particularly speaks of Christ. Christ, who interposed himself. We read here, the cloudy, fiery pillar, it went from being in front of the children of Israel to being behind them, to stand between them and the Egyptians, to interpose between, to be their shield, to be their defence. How beautifully that speaks of Christ, who interposed himself to bear our sins, to bear the wrath of God the Father that was rightfully due unto us according to the law of God on account of our sins. He's our shield and our defence. And then we have the wind. the blue that night? Well, the spirit, that word literally is breath. The Holy Spirit, the word spirit is literally breath. That which goes forth in the mouth of God. Thus we do hold and believe that the Spirit proceeded from the Father and the Son. The Spirit of Christ. There was a mighty wind that made a way in the sea. In that impossible place made a way. For with God nothing shall be impossible. That was spoken concerning the virgin birth spoken unto Mary. With God nothing shall be impossible. That which is impossible with man is possible with God. There that wind blew all night and divided, there was the division of the sea. And the children of Israel, on the following day, they walked, for the morning, could walk through on dry ground, through the sea. And that which was deliverance for them was the destruction of the Egyptians. They went through safely. The Lord was fighting for them. It was their deliverance. For the very place where they were delivered, the Egyptians were destroyed. So it will be when the Lord comes again upon this earth. As we read in that vision that John the Apostle had on the Isle of Patmos in Revelation chapter 19, when the Lord shall come, riding upon that great white horse, with that two-edged sword coming forth from his mouth to slay the nations. It will be the deliverance of the true Church of God, destruction of those who are the in league with Pharaoh and the Egyptians, who are enemies of Christ. The Lord shall fight for you and ye shall hold your peace. We see the eternal purposes of God are for the deliverance of his people. It might not be in the way that we think. Certainly the Egyptians hadn't thought about this, and perhaps Moses too. And when we have our backs against the wall, the Lord will grant a deliverance, but it might not, and often it isn't, in the way that we think, but yet the Lord is faithful. And we have the cloudy, fiery pillar, Christ. Emmanuel, God with us. And we read later, the cloudy, fiery pillar was so particularly associated with the sanctuary, the tabernacle, place of holiness, place where the mercy seat was, the place of sacrifice. And our Lord Jesus Christ, our glorious high priest, or Joshua, when he came, or Joshua would have been here as a younger man, but so over 40 years later, they came to enter into to cross Jordan. There again, when the Ark of the Covenant, the priests who bore it, stepped into the flood waters of Jordan, the waters stopped. And there the children of Israel, they went across safety. We're not just speaking here of the strong young men. We were speaking of the women, the children, the elderly, the poor and the weak, who had just been swept away. There they went in safety. For there was the Ark of the Covenant interposed, as it were literally upstream. There in the waters they ceased. The Ark of the Covenant speaks of Christ. The Lord shall fight for you, and you shall hold your peace. And the cloudy, fiery pillar led them safely through the wilderness. And then in the promised land, Joshua, about to come to Jericho, there he was met by the captain of the Lord's host with a sword drawn, a naked sword. We read of that in Joshua chapter 5. It came to pass when Joshua was by Jericho that he lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, there stood a man over against him with his sword drawn in his hand. And Joshua went unto him and said unto him, Art thou for us or for our adversaries? And he said, Nay, but as captain. And in the margin, translators give us an alternative meaning, prince. Points us to this was Christ who appeared unto Joshua there as captain or prince of the house of the host of the Lord. Am I now come? Not later come, now. And Joshua fell on his face to the earth and did worship and said unto him, What saith my Lord unto his servant? And the captain of the Lord's host said unto Joshua, Loose thy shoe from off thy foot, for the place whereon thou standest is holy. And Joshua did so. There was the Lord, the eternal Son of God, appeared unto Joshua, there with his sword drawn. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Indeed, the Lord is truly faithful. The Lord, we read when they sang this song of in the following chapter, there's this song. Then sang Moses and the children of Israel this song unto the Lord, and spake, saying, I will sing unto the Lord, for he hath triumphed gloriously. The horse and his rider hath he thrown into the sea. And then we read, the Lord is a man of war. The Lord is his name. There is that song of praise, seeing the Egyptians dead on the seashore. The Lord is worthy to be praised. We may say, well, I'm still back against the Red Sea and the Egyptians there. They saw the Egyptians on the seashore dead, and they praised God. We have that oft quoted example of Paul and Silas in the prison in Philippi. There they sang prayed, and they sang praises unto God. They praised God. In the midnight hour, there was faith laying hold upon the deliverance. There was faith, although they were beaten, chained, in the dark, imprisoned, knowing not, humanly speaking, what would happen to them the following morning. But they praised God. There was faith. Praising God that the Lord would appear. And he had appeared in the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ. And it was at that moment that the Lord granted that remarkable deliverance and that remarkable addition unto the church of the jailer and his household. These things are written for our instruction, for our admonition, for our encouragement. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace. Let us therefore, seeking grace and faith of God, look unto Jesus, our mighty warrior, our mighty Saviour, and our mighty friend. Amen.
collections last Lord's Day amounted to £715, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Dr. Sadler hopes to address the Sunday School this afternoon. Mr. Chapman is expected to preach on Friday evening, and Mr. Jonathan Buss next Lord's Day. And the collections today are for persecuted Christians in the Middle East. Let us close with hymn 1007. Stand up, my soul, shake off thy fears, and gird the gospel armour on. March to the gates of endless joy, where thy great captain Saviour's gone. 1007.
Thank you.
May the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us now and evermore. Amen.